Entonces dice, septuagésima Sunday. The epistle is taken from St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, know you not that they that run in the race all run indeed, but one receive the prize. So run that you may obtain. And everyone that strive for the mastery refrain himself from all things. And they indeed that they may receive a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible one. I therefore so run, not as at an uncertainty. I so fight, not as one beating the air, but I chastise my body and bring it into subjection, lest perhaps when I have preached to others, I myself should become a cast away. For I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all in Moses were baptized in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual food, and drank the same spiritual drink. And they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased. So we stand to hear the most holy gospel. It's taken from St. Matthew. At that time, Jesus spoke to his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like to a householder who went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And having agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing in the marketplace idle. And he said to them, go you also into my vineyard, and I will give you what shall be just. And they went their way. And again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and did in like manner. But about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing, and he said to them, why stand you here all the day idle? They said to him, because no man had hired us. He said to them, go you also into my vineyard. And when evening was come, the lord of the vineyard said to his steward, call the laborers and pay them their hire, beginning from the last even to the first. When therefore they were come, that came about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first also came, they thought that they should receive more, and they also received every man a penny. And receiving it, they murmured against the master of the house, saying, these last have worked but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the heats. But he answering said to one of them, friend, I do thee no wrong. Did thou not agree with me for a penny? Take what is thine and go thy way. I will also give to this last even as to thee. Or it is not lawful for me to do what I will? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So shall the last be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few chosen. The words of the most holy gospel, and the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Take a seat. So there are friends here again in the Holy Land of New Mexico. Very happy to be here with you. It's a family of many, many months since then. So my purpose is to strengthen you with the grace of God, with His power, of His doctrine, especially that today starts the preparation for Lent. Purple and violet vestments signify that today we start the race towards Easter. That's the subject matter of the epistle of today. St. Paul said that we have to run so as to win the prize. See? Remember, to go to Easter is like going to heaven. It's to receive the prize, the reward for our work, our good works, our penance. So this is why it's so important today, Mass, because we have to look towards our, in our life, what is in disorder, what we have to fight back, to clean up, to strengthen, to make straight, to clean in the sense of getting rid of the vices, bad habits, in order to be able to run on the ways of God. See, I told you last time, our Catholic religion wants, our Lord wants from us a double work, daily double work. To fight against our enemies, fight against sin, fight against our inclinations through ascetical and penance, ascetic virtues and penance, humility, and the fight of the labor of loving God and our neighbor for ever more and more and more and more, practicing the virtues which foster charity and the spiritual life, like prayer. But today, the church wants to focus on the first part of the fight, which is to get rid of sin, to get rid of bad habits, in order to be able to run in the love of God. So, let's analyze first the collect of the Mass to see what is the what the church wants us to pray today. It says the following: graciously hear, we beseech thee, O Lord, the prayers of thy people, so that we who are justly afflicted for our sins may, for the glory of thy name, be mercifully delivered through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we are asking, Lord, for deliverance, yes, for the glory of His name, so to be saved. We ask for the salvation of Easter. But in the meanwhile, we are telling our Lord that we agree that we are justly afflicted for our sins. This is a very important point. So the only evil on this world, just keep in mind that principle. Never forget that principle. The only evil in this world is sin. That's it. The other things are no evil. The other things outside sin is part of the plan of God for our salvation. Everything, eh? I mean, temptations, the character of my husband, the neighbor so mean, the persecutions, the masons even, the devil is part of the plan of God to foster my sanctification. So it's not evil. It's part of the plan of God. So the only thing evil, pure evil, is sin. It's why we are so blind. Because we are fighting against our crosses. And we indulge in committing sins. We are upside down. Should be the contrary. We should be grabbing the cross because it's a blessing, it's a will of God that we have it. It's a blessing because the cross is the cross which is going to bring us to heaven. It's going to purify us make us grow in the love of God and in the love of our neighbor. So we are supposed to do the opposite, to embrace our crosses and to hate sin, to fight sin. This is precisely the main preaching against the modern society. Modern society does the opposite. The only evil for the modern society is what is against my will, what makes me suffer, what makes me sad, what makes me fearful. This is bad. I don't want that. No. And when it's a question of sinning, they say, yes, I like that. Yes, I like that. Oh, yes, I like to dress like this. I like to say these things. I like to lie. I like to be disobedient. I like to be cheating in the law of God. Yes? And we are not sorrow about that. We are not sorrowful about that. Is the problem. So this mentality is not Catholic. So will not bring you to Easter, will not bring you to heaven at all. This is why in the collect we said, Lord, we justly are afflicted for our sins. So we deserve to suffer. Our Lord placed the example on the cross, and the Blessed Virgin Mary at the foot of the cross in her solitude, her sorrows. They were innocent, but nevertheless, they are teaching us that the whole purpose of our Lord coming on earth was to suffer on the cross, the passion and death, to pay off our sins. To help us to pay off the bill that we owe to God because of our sins. You notice here is no question of the cross. So the cross is in our life. What's in our Lord? What's the center of our Lord's life? The cross. The Blessed Virgin Mary, suffering, sorrowing, to be in solitude, was the center of her life. So this is not the problem. The cross, temptations, the defects of our neighbor, our family, is not the problem. This is a cross which is healthy because it's part of the plan of God, again and again. So the only evil how to fight with all our might is sin. So, what is sin? What sin is? So, sin is an offense to God. That's it. How do we know what is the offense to God? The whole of the teaching of the gospel doctrine, sacred scriptures, the Ten Commandments, the precepts, the duty of state, the laws of charity, the laws of prudence, the laws of justice, the laws of fortitude, the laws of temperance. This is the will of God upon us. In other words, to break the order, to put disorder to the order of God is a sin. Or put it in different words, whatever is against faith, but also against reason, is sinful. For example, reason tells me that I had to use my mouth to pronounce truth. To pronounce what my mind has. I cannot twist and to lie, because in my mouth was given to by God to pronounce what my mind is thinking. So if I am thinking something and I say something else, it's a lie. It's against the order placed by God. Because God made the mouth, the tongue, to speak the truth, to speak what I am thinking. That's it. When I break a law from God, which is against reason even, it's a sin. So whatever disorder is sinful. So, this is why, in order to pay, to repair our sins, we have to confess them, yes, But we have to do something else. We have to repair them. Because a sin causes a double damage. A sin offends God, but at the same time damage the order of God, the glory of God, the honor of God. So that disorder caused by our sins has to be paid, has to be repaired. Yeah? It's a classical example. Somebody of you is playing soccer and you break the window of grandpa. You immediately will go with your ball, with your grandpa, grandpa, sorry, I broke the window. Yes, he will say, yes, I forgive you, but you have to pay it. You have to pay it, the disorder. You have to clean up, bring the broom, and bring a newspaper to cover the hole, and to help me to call the person who is going to replace the window. But you have to help me to protect. Nobody will be harmed by the glasses. So you have to repair by doing something to put order again into your disorder that you caused by the ball, soccer ball in this case. It's obvious. It's not only, yeah, I forgive you. Oh, yeah, he forgave me. I go again to keep playing soccer. No, you have to repair the damage. Because it's crystals everywhere. It's dangerous. It's a hole there. It's a disorder. It could cause accidents. Of course, you have to be there repairing the disorder. Even if you are forgotten by that fault, in that scene, you have to repair. So this is why is this season, Violet, we are here to repair. This season, preparing for Lent, is to start running to repair our sins, to get rid of sins, in order to run towards the love of God. So, another point important here about sin is we must be sorry about sin. The most important point in fighting against sin is the sorrow. What happens if you break the window of grandpa with the soccer ball and you are not sorry, and grandpa is very angry against you, and you don't say sorry, grandpa, you don't say that, you are not forgotten. You have to pay the damage, but also you will not be forgotten by grandpa, because you are not sorry, you didn't apologize, you didn't say sorry. So you have still double punishment. The punishment of repairing the damage, and also the punishment of not being sorry, and grandpa will be very angry against you until you say sorry to him. So, regarding sin, you can be sorry for four reasons. You can be sorry because the punishment, which is going to fall upon you. Yes. No, I have to apologize, because otherwise I will be beaten and I will be I will not receive the cert. I will not be able to play today. To be fearful of the punishment of sin is one of the reasons why we are sorry. But it's imperfect. It's called attrition. Another reason why you might be sorry is because you don't want to lose the reward of your actions, of being part of the family. Because you receive benefits, being part of the family, you receive benefits, right? You are able to be here, to share with the others the meals, to pray together, to play together, to suffer together, to have a lot of help with your family. So you know very well that if you are not sorry, those benefits, you are going to lose those benefits. You might not be able to play or to share the meals and to come to the house anymore if you don't ask pardon. Yeah? But still, that reason why you don't want to commit that sin again is imperfect. It's attrition. Still is attrition. Another reason why you might be sorry for your sins might be because it's ugly. Yes, because to break the window is ugly, because will be a hole there, will be crystals in the on the carpet, and you will be not able to be the heat in the room will be lost. So it's ugly. That's the fault of breaking the window of your grandpa will be, yes, it's ugly. So you don't want to do it again because you don't want to have this ugliness of having the window broken. Is that the third reason why you might not be, you might be sorry for your sins? Yes? Because every time you commit a sin, it's something ugly about that. We say a lie, it's ugly. To contradict my mind, to break the law of God, and grandpa and ma and mom might be realized it, and I will be punished by being a liar. It's ugly, so you don't want to do it again. But it's imperfect reason. So these three reasons are imperfect, which call attrition. But only one reason is perfect, which is worthy of the children of God. Why you have to be sorry for your sins, which is in the collect of today. So we have to be sorry for, because we offended God, because He's good, He's merciful. He died for us on the cross. He created us, He's our Father. It's a pure reason of love for God, for what He is. It's a perfect reason, which is called perfect contrition. When you have a real sorrow for a reason of God, and you hate all your sins for because God is good, and you want to go to confession as soon as you can, God forgives even your mortal sins, even before confession. It's why I have been speaking about this topic very often, because you don't have prayers available so often. But still, you can win grace from God of forgiveness of your sins, even mortal sins. You have perfect contrition. Remember, to have perfect contrition, you need three conditions. To confess as soon as you can, could be in a few months. God decides when. God knows when. But you have the intention to go to confession as soon as you can. Second, to hate all your sins, venial and mortal sins. You don't want to commit them again. And the third reason also very important is it has to be fulfilled. It has to be a perfect sorrow for your sins. Means the reason why you are sorry for your sins has to be a pure motive of love for God. Because God is good, God is merciful, God died for you, He's your Father, He's your Creator. You have three conditions. You are forgotten, your sins are forgotten. So this is why, just to finish this topic, I got to put an example for you to realize how important it is to hate your sins. I want to speak about modesty precisely because it's the most dangerous thing that we see today. So Alfonso Maria Liguori says, the two sins more dangerous with the greatest consequences for us are the sins against faith and against purity. Because are very fragile, we could commit it very easily, and if we broke these laws against faith and purity, we can go very far in evil. We can go very far in sins. We can go very far in losing our souls and everything else. And he says that it's the most fragile, it's the most important of virtues. Faith and purity are the two most important and fragile virtues. This is why when we speak about purity, we never will exaggerate. First point. In the same way, we never exaggerate when we defend the faith, because if someone writes a book and has two words which are very close to be heretical or dangerous for the faith, is enough reason to forbid a book and to put it in the index of forbidden books. So this is why in questions of faith and purity, we never will be exaggeration. Never. On the contrary, we must be very strict, very steadfast in fighting against whatever is against faith and purity. With all the delicacy, with all the power of our soul, with all the prudence. Yes? So, it's very important because in question of purity, we have to have the custody, extreme carefulness in our eyes, our ears, our senses, our tongue, our imagination, the memory, not to allow impure things to enter our eyes, our ears, our memory, our imagination. So it has to be very strict. No exaggerations in those points. So it's very important because in question of modesty, men and women, both together, they, instead of thinking in hiding their bodies, because they don't want them to see their bodies, because if somebody else sees their bodies, the form of their bodies, they will be in temptation. And because precisely, we want to take care of the purity of us and the others, the modesty has to be very strict. This is why we tell the men and women that we are temples of the Holy Ghost. So our body is a dwelling it's a house of God, have been consecrated by God. So our body should be seen only by God and by the husband or wife. That's it. For the rest, should not see our bodies in an impurity way or in a dangerous way, because our temples reserved for God. So we don't allow the eyes of anyone to profanate the temple of our body. That's it. This is why in a church usually you don't allow people from who doesn't come to pray to enter into the church. Because they are just tourists who want to see around, they will be profanating with their eyes, with their attitude, the sacred environment. Doesn't fit a tourist enter into a sacred place. He doesn't come to pray, he just come to see. Doesn't fit, it's not convenient, it's not part of the will of God, it's a disorder, it's not the will of God. It's the same. Our bodies are for God. I'm not for the others. I'm not for the others to see. But this problem is very obvious nowadays, that for example women want to show themselves instead of guarding themselves for God and for the husband. In the mind is to show off. To exhibition of some kind of beauty or something of that they possess. It's precisely to put in danger herself and the others in question of purity. This is why the dress has to be very strict. So, and not only in chapel, not only in the church, everywhere. In the street, at work, and the job, even at home. At home, we don't allow girls to go in pyjamas around the house, even, for example. We don't. For pudor, el pudor, la chastity, and the love for the respect for the body. Even if it's very little, 3 years old, We still try them to dress them very, very, very elegant, but also very modest. Because children, even at 2-3 years old, they learn, they feel, they sense everything. They notice, they learn. And they can lose the chastity very, very early by being accustomed to pants or to be half naked when they are 3 years old, for example. It's lost. We call it in Spanish the pudor, which is a chastity in English. This natural shame of showing your body to the others. It's one of the virtues that God has put in our hearts. Everybody has a natural shame of showing their bodies to the others. This is why, for example, for purity's sake, we don't embrace someone who is my brother and my sister like with familiarity and touching the shoulders and playing games like that. We don't do that. Especially because the body is sacred. The body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. Even in sports, or even in swimming, men and women, they don't use shorts or skirts. Short skirts. Traditional Catholics, they have a special fabric, but they have long skirts, even in swimming, with pants underneath, of course. Or if you want to ride a horse or a bicycle, they have underneath pants, but always the skirt or the dress, long dresses. It's no excuses. I tell you, in question of purity and modesty, never will be exaggeration. On the contrary, never will be enough. We never will cover enough. So it depends upon generosity, and precisely this charity and towards the neighbor, not to make them fall into sin. Especially today, people nowadays are flooded in impurities, and they are looking for those things. This is why today, more than ever, men and women must dress extremely modestly, because people are looking for those things more than ever. And the principle is the following: if someone is dressing immodestly, and someone look at that person with impure sight because of immodesty, both commit a mortal sin. The women who cause that sight of that man, and men who look at that woman, both commit a mortal sin. Both. This is why it has to be extreme carefulness. Yes. This is why I don't like to give measurements like they do in the United States. 1 inch here, 1 inch here. Because it's a question of generosity, it's a question of prudence, it's a question of chastity, and it's a question of teaching the principle that it never will be enough. The more we cover, the best. Yes? The better. Because it's a temple. Remember, it's a temple. A temple has a veil. The tabernacle has a veil when this is Blessed Sacrament. The chalice has a veil, because it's precisely to cover the sacred, to separate the sacred from the profane. So the body has to be separated from this profane world. This is why the dress, the skirts are a veil for the body. This is why women never wear pants at all. Maybe only in the room for pajama, maybe, but outside the room in pajama, nowhere else. So this is an example of how to get rid of sins or occasions of sins, of love for sin, that we is disguised by immodesty. It's love for sin, love for disorders, love for breaking the law of God in because vanity, because I want to show off my beauty or something of my body. So this is why it's good to speak about these topics. And so we keep preparing for Lent. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.